And welcome once again to our oral magic meeting on Jupiter's movement into Sagittarius. This is a call that I made free to part of my community. If you're in Spinning Gold, the Miracle Tree Sessions, Star Magic, or if you purchased a Star Story or Star Power bundle from me this year for 2019, then you got an invite. You received an invite to join this call. And I am really excited to see, in quotes, so many faces joining live. There will be an opportunity to ask questions, so that's always a good thing. And we did have a question come in via email as well, so I'll address that. But let's start by just taking a moment to acknowledge the time and the space that we're in and the fact that we are here virtually together and that we're going to be spending the next hour, hour and a half talking about the magic of the celestial realms. So to that effect, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I would like you just to take a moment to acknowledge the earth beneath your feet. And if it's possible for you to allow your feet to rest on the ground, do so. And then affirm and acknowledge the sky arching over your head. As you're ready, breathe in a breath, allowing it to move from the soles of your feet all the way up to the crown of your head. Releasing that breath in a blessing over yourself and the information that you're about to receive and the various ways you will be able to put that information to work in your own life. Blessed ones. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the earth beneath our feet and for the sky above our heads. Thank you for the breath running through our bodies and the blood running through our veins. We ask that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that know the right path to follow with wisdom and discernment. And may it be so. All right, everyone. So we are all here to talk about Jupiter into Sagittarius. This is Jupiter, the planet's movement from the sign of Scorpio, where it has been hanging out over the past year, basically, into the sign of Sagittarius, the celestial archer. And the themes that I am really emphasizing and seeing emphasized in this movement are wealth, wisdom, and wayfinding. So we're going to talk about all of this. But before we do that, I know that there are a few people on the call or listening to the recording who may not be as familiar with me and as familiar with my work. So I'm Brianna Sassi. I am a sacred artist, a teacher, a spiritual counselor, and an author. I have a book coming out from Sounds True in June of 2019 called Making Magic. And more exciting, although the book is pretty exciting, more exciting for our purposes is I have been paying attention and practicing astrology for most of my life. This is one of the things I love about astrology is that it really is one of the places where you can exercise lifelong learning if you want to. And I am still learning about astrology. I learn a little bit more every day. And I apply astrology to my life more and more. As the older that I get, that is really true. I'm constantly applying astrological insights and lessons to my life, and especially when planning out my year. So hopefully all of you were able to spend some time with the free guide that I created called Planning by Starlight that gives you basically some really good beginning steps into how you can think about the planet and the various celestial movements that happen throughout the year and plan with those movements in mind. And astrology is one of these things, you know, when I'm teaching astrology, I often tell my students, like, you know, this is a study that is millennia old. Like, people have been developing and working with astrological concepts for over 2,500 years, you know, close to 3,000 years, right? And of course, the reason why, one of the reasons why, is because the sky is so, it's so present. And the night sky that becomes illuminated as the sun sets is so present for us. And it was so present for our ancestors. And so it was very natural to wonder, how does what is happening up there affect what is going on down here? And that really is the question that galvanizes a lot of astrologers, is like, how does the macrocosm, the big cosmos, how do the movements there and the weather there, how does it affect our lives here and now and our world here and now? And so because there are so many years and so many voices and so many different points of view that have informed the line of astrology, there's so much to learn, right? There's just so much to learn. And really, that can be a blessing and that can be a curse, because often people get overwhelmed with where to start, with where to begin. How do you get your bearings in this world of planets and signs and asteroids and various aspects and angles and all of this information? So one of my favorite places to begin is with the planet Jupiter. And Jupiter is an incredible planet to work with. And it's one of the planets that was first worked with because it's one of the planets that is most visible in the night sky as a planet. So there's a long history of working with Jupiter, and I'm excited about talking with you all today about how some of the ways that we can do that, especially given the movement, the transit, if we want to get specific, that Jupiter is making out of Scorpio and into the sign of Sagittarius. So let's start with the date and the time. Jupiter will move from the sign of Scorpio into the sign of Sagittarius on November 8th at 6:38 a.m. Central Time. That's 7:38 a.m. Eastern, 5:38 a.m. Mountain, and 4:38 a.m. for those of you on the West Coast. So early morning, November 8th, Jupiter moves into the sign of Sagittarius. And as I said, if you don't know anything about astrology, you can really start with the planets. It's one of the most easy places to begin, is looking at and getting familiar with the planets. And of all of the planets to start with, Jupiter is my favorite. So in old astrology, in ancient astrology, Jupiter, and we should clarify before I go forward, I want to clarify that there are many different kinds of astrology in the world, right? So there's Chinese astrology and there's Vedic astrology, and there's a lot of smaller astrological systems that aren't as well publicized or known about. We're working with Western sidereal astrology. So this is the astrology that was really codified during the Babylonian Empire's time. And, you know, it definitely was being worked with before then. Both the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Greeks had a bead on this kind of astrology. So you know, it's the ancestor, the great-great-great-grandmother of the astrology that we mostly practice today in the 21st century, quote-unquote, Western world. So there are many other kinds of astrologies, and they're all really profound, and they're all really beautiful. And if you love learning about the ways that different cultures and different places of the earth see the stars and work with the stars, then I highly recommend that you investigate that. But for our purposes, we're working with classic Western astrology as it is usually known, although the Western is a bit of a misnomer because what's West, what's East, and how much crossover has there been? A lot. There's been a lot of crossover in a lot of different ways. So, but if you look it up online, that's what you're going to find. So Jupiter, start with Jupiter. If you don't know where to start, start with Jupiter. If you are a seasoned astrologer and you, you know, have all kinds of stuff mapped out, you still know that you want to pay attention to Jupiter. And one of the reasons why is given to us in the name that Jupiter was given by the ancient astrologers, which is the greater benefics, right? That means that Jupiter is the planet that has the ability to bring us into alignment or encourage us to be attuned to the best blessings and good fortune available in our lives. So Jupiter is, of course, the largest planet in our solar system. And physically, this is something that I think is really interesting about Jupiter because it speaks to its spiritual qualities. Physically, Jupiter is the only planet in the solar system that puts out more energy than it takes in. So, you know, as you know, every body that has mass, right, any kind of mass, any kind of solid matter, both takes in energy and puts out energy, and Jupiter puts out more than it takes in. So this is just a clue about the generosity, the culture of generosity that can really be fostered under the influence of Jupiter. The name of Jupiter actually goes all the way back to the Sanskrit Proto-Indo-European GR root, the gr. And so some of the cognates for Jupiter include guru, gravity, and grace, right? So a very old root word for the planet that also clues you into some of the qualities of Jupiter. You know, a lot of times when people are first getting into astrology and they start to learn about Jupiter, they think of it as a money planet or a wealth planet. That's often how it's talked about, and there is definitely that component present. But when we look at the root of the word, that gruff root, we see words like guru, we see words like gravity, and what we mean by gravity is both the Newtonian force, but also the sense of something is serious, right? Something is heavy, something has meaning and import. And so that's why when I talk about Jupiter, we will talk about wealth, but we also talk about wisdom, because it is strongly associated with wisdom, both our seeking out of wisdom and also reflecting on and really getting familiar with the wisdom that we have accrued and attained throughout our lives. So every planet has a sign, or in some cases, several signs that it's deeply attuned to, that it's very resonant with, right? And so in the case of Jupiter, we refer to this as a sign's ruling planet. This is the planet that when it's in this sign or with this sign is at its most exalted, most powerful, most potent form. So Jupiter is the ruling planet of the sign Sagittarius, where it's about to move. And it is also the ancient ruler of the sign of Pisces. So before Neptune was discovered, Jupiter was the ruler of Pisces. Now, that's useful information for our purposes as we consider Jupiter moving into Sagittarius and what that means and what's going to happen. But it's also really useful information in the sense of if you're trying to figure out if you are especially sensitive to one of the planets, and this is something that I talk about a lot. So what I mean by especially sensitive is if the planet retrogrades, you really feel it. If the planet moves from one sign into another sign, you tend to feel it. If the planet moves from one area of your chart into another area of your chart, you really feel it. If there's a big aspect happening, like a square or an opposition with the planet, then you really feel that as well. And so if you're a Sagittarius or if you're a Pisces, you already know that you are what I would call Jupiter sensitive. That means that, you know, you you may not be able to track all of the planets and all of the different planetary motions, but you should definitely be tracking Jupiter and know what's happening with Jupiter, because you are going to be more sensitive to what goes on with Jupiter. Now, you'll find in astrology that sometimes there are planets that you're just not as sensitive to. They don't affect you as deeply as they affect other people. And so that's always useful to know, too. Jupiter is so big, and its influence is so big, and its energy is so strong that I really consider everyone to be Jupiter sensitive. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not a Sagittarius or you're not a Pisces. I'm still going to really emphasize Jupiter and the placement of Jupiter and what is happening with Jupiter when I look at a person's chart. And I'm going to pay attention to those Jupiter transits, because it's so big and it is so influential in everyone's life. And so we really want to be aware of where that energy is and how we can best bring ourselves into alignment with it. A couple of other folks that would definitely fall into the category of Jupiter sensitivity that you should be aware of: if you have a really loaded ninth or 12th house. Now, if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But those of you who do know what that means, I'm referring to the ninth house of the chart and the 12th house of the chart. Those are the sectors that are usually associated, respectively, with Sagittarius and Pisces. And so if you've got a bunch of planets in the ninth house or the 12th house, you're Jupiter sensitive. If you have a strong aspect between Jupiter and another planet, especially like your sun, or if you have Jupiter near your ascendant or your midheaven, then you are also going to be especially Jupiter sensitive. So those are just, you know, for those of you who are, you know, intermediate astrologers and know what some of that terminology means, look for that. If you don't, and you're like, oh no, she's talking in Greek now, don't worry, that's about as technical as we're going to get. And you don't need to worry about it. Just assume that you're Jupiter sensitive and all is good. So Jupiter, one of the nice things about tracking Jupiter is an outer planet, right? So going back to what, third grade science, we have the inner planets, we have the asteroid belt, and then we have the outer planet. So Jupiter is the first outer planet. And the outer planets are often seen as more universal in their impact. So their movements take much longer, and their influences tend to be felt not only in the personal realm, but in a more global manner. So Jupiter and Scorpio, Scorpio is about many, many wonderful things, but two of the key ideas with Scorpio are sex and power. So Jupiter has been in Scorpio for the last year. Now, the Me Too movement was getting started right as Jupiter was getting ready to leave Libra, which is about right relationship and partnership and justice, and moved into Scorpio. And so what we've seen in the past year are issues of consent and sex and culture and sex and power dynamics, especially being played out in a number of different ways. And so that is a great example of how Jupiter and Scorpio's influence can be seen globally working, right? We're having conversations about sex and power, and we have seen people whose positions of power would have in the past rendered them, safe from any kind of charge of harassment, aggression, manipulation, being brought down by such charges. So this is just a really powerful example of how Jupiter and Scorpio has played out on the more national and global scale. And, you know, most of my callers are calling from the U.S. or from Canada, so we've definitely seen it here. But, you know, if you follow international news, then you know that this has played out in a lot of international countries as well, right? It hasn't just been here. So this is Jupiter in Scorpio, one example of Jupiter in Scorpio. So now Jupiter is moving into Sagittarius. That doesn't mean that the sex and power conversation is going to stop, or that it won't be in the spotlight. What it means is that, you know, all of the things that got highlighted during that transit will have now been brought out into the open, so to speak. And so now that Jupiter is moving into Sagittarius, we're going to have a bunch of other things being brought out into the open. Which we'll talk about, obviously. So years ago, I started paying attention to what sign Jupiter was transiting. And the nice thing, because Jupiter is an outer planet, it moves relatively slowly. So it's a great planet to work with for a bunch of reasons, but one of the reasons is it's really easy to track Jupiter. Jupiter basically stays in a sign for about a year. So that gives you enough time to really feel and reflect on what Jupiter in a specific sign feels like, what it looks like, what it feels like. And yet it's not so long that you might start to, you know, get your years confused. Like Pluto, you know, Pluto takes, I think, like, what, 280 years to go around back to the place where it was at the time of your birth. So Pluto stays in signs for a really long period of time, for several years, and that can start to kind of become a grind. It moves so slowly. Jupiter moves slow enough, but it's easy to track. It's not like speeding through signs like every 2 days, like the moon, or every month, like Venus. But it is also not, you know, it's not going slow as molasses. So I discovered as I was watching Jupiter and watching what sign it was transiting, I would figure out where it was occurring in my chart. So what specific area of my chart was affected by Jupiter's presence. And then I would think about how I could work with the information to really maximize and usher in the blessings that Jupiter is so good at bestowing for that particular area. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how you can start to really get a sense of what the blessings and opportunities are as Jupiter moves into Sagittarius, and how you can start to maximize that. So I talked about, you know, how Jupiter and Scorpio showed up on the national and the international scene over the past year with the dynamics of sex and power that played out in the media. Okay. In my personal life, as I mentioned, I wrote a book called Making Magic, and the book is about, indeed, magic. And so that was a very good Jupiter and Scorpio thing to do personally, because Scorpio deals with magic. It deals with the esoteric and the magical. And so for me, I knew going into that period that this was going to be a really blessed time to do a long-term project about magic that I would bring out into the world. So that's just a tiny example of how you can start to pay attention to what this planet's doing and then bring that down into your life here and now and start to work with the information. So every place that Jupiter shows up in is auspicious, in my opinion, because Jupiter is so auspicious. It's such a planet of blessing and good fortune and joy and bigness and generosity and all of that juicy good stuff. But the upcoming transit of Jupiter into Sagittarius is especially auspicious because Jupiter, as I mentioned, is the natural ruler of Sagittarius and the ninth house. And so that means that Jupiter is really happy in this part of the sky and chart. The technical term for that is exalted, right? Jupiter is exalted in this particular sign and in this particular area of the chart. So one thing that you want to do on your own after this call is you want to pull up your chart and identify where Sagittarius is, where the sign of Sagittarius is in your natal chart. So in what is called a natural chart, Sagittarius covers the ninth house. But for most people, Sagittarius is not going to be part of the ninth house, right? Sagittarius could be in your second house, or Sagittarius could be in your fifth house. You want to look and find out where that is, and pay attention to what that house represents for the most personalized take on how this works. So those of you in Star Magic, y'all know how to do this. Spinning Gold and MTS, you should know how to do this. You know, if you have any questions or you get stuck, feel free to email me. I am happy to help you figure out where Sagittarius is in your chart and what house it's happening in, so that you can start to plan accordingly. But even if you don't know that, I know that a few of you, for instance, don't know what time you were born exactly, so that makes it a little difficult to know where Sagittarius is. This information will help you, and you can begin working with just this information, and you will have an awesome Jupiter in Sagittarius experience. So before I talk about Jupiter in Sagittarius, I want to just talk for a few moments about Sagittarius, the sign of Sagittarius. I was putting my oldest son, who was 7, to bed last night, and he was going through all of the different zodiac signs, and we got to Sagittarius, and he was like, okay, Mommy, now remind me, what is Sagittarius? What exactly is this sign? So Sagittarius is the centaur. So for those of you who are not up to date on your Greek mythology, the centaur is a half horse, half man, right? So Sagittarius is the centaur, and according to ancient myth, the centaurs were a race of beings that were extremely gifted warriors. And they were especially gifted at the art of archery. So Sagittarius is often known as the archer. And the glyph, the planetary glyph for Sagittarius, is an arrow, right? So it's pretty easy to identify. And the sign of Sagittarius, which I've written on extensively, and when I send out the recording, I will give you guys the link to the article I've written on Sagittarius. The sign of Sagittarius is often associated with the mythic figure of Chiron. Now, those of you who are intermediate or advanced astrologers, you know that Chiron is also the name of a celestial body that's part asteroid, part comet. But that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the figure of Chiron, which was the template for Sagittarius early on. And what is remarkable about Chiron is he's the wounded healer. So Chiron was this figure who basically was a teacher to all of the ancient Greek heroes that you read about, Achilles and Hercules and all of them, Jason and the Argonauts. They were all taught by Chiron. He was a philosopher, he was a warrior, he was a teacher, he was also a doctor, and he was also a wounded healer. So this is an archetype that we see across the world throughout myth and story of a healer who is very gifted at healing others and teaching other people how to heal, but who himself or herself has a wound that they cannot heal, right? It's almost like one of their badges. So Sagittarius marks out a sector of the sky and a sector of our lives that corresponds to the life concerns around religion and spirituality, philosophy, higher education and learning, teaching, traveling, and globalism, right? So we've seen politically that there's been a lot of push towards a nationalism, a kind of nationalism, not just here in America, but in many parts of the world. And One of the things that I think will be happening as Jupiter moves into Sagittarius is that there's going to be a strong push back towards globalism, towards asserting that, you know, we are much closer and much more connected than we've ever been before, and that, you know, creating little insular communities or insular countries is not the most efficient or benevolent way to go about doing business. So I won't be surprised to see that, because traveling and globalism and learning about other cultures and appreciating other cultures is something that we're going to see highlighted during this transit of Jupiter through Sagittarius. One way to think about Sagittarius that I think is really useful is to look at the sign that comes right before it, the sign of Scorpio, because those of you who like the tarot, you know that in the major arcana of the tarot, you can read the major arcana cards as basically telling a story of development. And the same thing is true with the 12 zodiac signs, right? Starting with Aries and ending with Pisces, they tell many stories, actually. So if we think about Scorpio, which is the sign that Jupiter is still in for a couple of days, think about that as the area of your life where you come face to face with your deep wounds. So these are your deep personal wounds. And then these are also, because we're dealing with an outer planet and the outer planet speaks to culture, these are deep wounds in our culture. So Scorpio is where we see it, right? It's, in a lot of ways, it's like the detox sign. And if you've ever done any kind of detox, you know that, you know, the detox, the actual process of detoxifying is usually not very pleasant, right? Like lots of strange secretions start coming out of your body, and they smell funny and they look funny. And it's kind of gross. But necessary if you're getting rid of, say, a parasite or a chronic illness that requires that kind of method. So Scorpio is a cosmic detox. So a lot of the unpleasant stuff that we try to pretend is not there, or that we tend to look away from, comes to the surface. And it's like, hello, I'm here. I would like you to deal with me now. So the wounds, the hurt places, the scars, the stuff that we like to keep hidden, right? Scorpio deals with secrets. It comes floating up to the surface. Sagittarius is where we begin to develop and discover the tools to heal that wound. And if you wanted to get really, like, literal about it, Scorpio is a water sign. So, you know, you have the wound, you have the open, oozing wound. Sagittarius is a fire sign, so it's where we go and we cauterize that wound, right? We close it off, we seal it to protect it, protect whoever has been wounded or whatever has been wounded, and also to facilitate the beginning of a deep healing process. So because the energy of Jupiter is both personal and cultural, and because Jupiter as this big planet functions as a kind of giant cosmic magnifying glass or spotlight that highlights, you know, whatever it's being called to highlight at a given time, this does mean that any place or way where you are ignoring a wound or not working with a wound or not actively healing your hurt places will be highlighted during this transit through Sagittarius. So that very rarely is anyone in our community. Most everybody in our community of sacred artists are, you know, we're doing our self-development work. Like we're, you know, we see the opportunities for growth and we're going for it and we're working on it, and it's not perfect, but we're showing up on a regular basis. We're doing the work that needs to be done. But sometimes there is a wound or there is a pattern that we're really stubborn about admitting, or it's just a huge blind spot and so we don't see it. Other times, and this is more often the case with us, with my people, there are people around you that may be having a really hard time. And, you know, that occurs for all kinds of reasons. But one to keep in mind is that as Jupiter moves in the Sagittarius, you know, there is a sense of we're now getting on with the business of healing these wounds, these broken places, of finding the blessings and putting it together. And if you're being really stubborn about seeing where you need help, where you need healing, then this is a transit that could be a little rough for you, right? Could feel a little uncomfortable. So you know, one example of this is going back to the Me Too movement and to the dynamics of sex and power. You know, people have been called out in a way never before for not speaking up, for not, you know, admitting that there was a problem. And so what we've seen is not just, you know, the bad actors being called out and held accountable for their behavior. But we've also seen the people who complacently watched and let things happen also being identified. So it doesn't mean that every situation that we hear about in the media ends the way we would like to see it end. But what it means is that, again, there's a magnifying glass, not only on the immediate actors, but also on the people who have supported and turned a blind eye to the problems around sex and power in various industries. So, with all of that said, what can we expect to see with Jupiter moving into Sagittarius? Let's talk about some of the key stuff. So, the first thing, travel opportunities are expanded and favored. If you are looking at your next year and Jupiter is in, let me just tell you really quickly. It is, I think it's in Sagittarius through December of 2019. I'll double check that and send the date to you all. So for the next year, definitely for the next year, if you have any travel on the books, even if it's like Mercury retrograde time, expect that travel to be blessed. Expect those travel opportunities to be expanded. This is a good time to do some traveling. Sagittarius is the sign of travel. So over the period of this transit, traveling is a favored activity. And you should expect to have travel opportunities come up that you were not necessarily expecting. You know, this is a year where if you really have been wanting to go to a place and you haven't been able to find the time or the money or the opportunity to go there, you know, you could work some magic. You could set a strong intention to go there, and it would be very well favored during this year while Jupiter is in Sagittarius for that to actually manifest and show up and you get to go. This can also show up as, because Jupiter does function as a magnifying glass, it can show up as issues with traveling and with our policies around travel. And that does include things like immigration. So I don't think I need to say anything else, right? Travel has been in the news, traveling to various countries and what happens when you do. And that will continue to be highlighted. So those of you who are watching the way that various countries, not just the U.S., but countries in general, are dealing with immigrants, immigrant populations, you're watching states and countries to see who's leaving and who's coming in. This is a year where a lot of that information will have long-term effects culturally. So that's the cultural part of it. And I mentioned globalism, I think, will be pushing back against the nationalistic impulses we've been seeing politically. That also speaks to Sagittarius's love to travel. But personally, if you're traveling, this is a great year to travel. There's a lot that can come out of your travels. You can learn a lot. They will most likely energize you rather than deplete you. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I travel and I'm like, I need a vacation from my vacation. That won't be the experience of traveling this year. The spotlight of Jupiter will also be turned on higher education and learning. Again, as is often the case with astrology, we're starting to see this already happen. So one of the places where we're seeing this is if you've paid attention to the trial that's been going on with Harvard's admission processes. This is looking at our institutions of higher education and making sure that they are in alignment with what they need to be in alignment with. So this is looking at everything from tuition to admissions, who gets to go in and who doesn't, who gets a higher education and who doesn't, and also the quality of higher education and how higher education is changing. I won't be surprised over the next course of the year, while Jupiter is in Sagittarius, to see new higher education learning opportunities really present themselves or entrench themselves into our cultural consciousness. And we may see some old ways of doing higher education start to fall away as well. I just came across an article that was talking about the work of many colleges to get students to return to the humanities. Sagittarius has a strong association with the field of humanities, philosophy, religion, all of those various subjects. And so I won't be surprised to see that get an uptick as well. So personally, this may show up as Jupiter encouraging you or people that you know, people in your life, to either go back to school to receive advanced or specific training in an area of interest, or to take on a training that may not be, you know, a formal academic track, but speaks to something that this person has wanted to learn or this person wants to know. So again, if you're looking at going back to school, if you're looking at joining up with a class or a course, if you are considering getting certified in something, this is a great year to do any of those things. It's a really good year. If you're looking at going back to school, but you know that the school wouldn't start in 2019, it would start, you know, the next year, 2020, say, but you want to do like the application and everything, this is a great time to do that. This is also a really good time. Those of you who, I have several people in my community who depend on grants from, for instance, the National Endowment of Arts for work that they do. If you are wanting to apply for any kind of grant that supports your educational or your creative work, this is a great time to do that as well. So feel free to dive in to that and put yourself out there. Another area that is going to be emphasized by Jupiter in Sagittarius is spirituality. Now, this is specifically the exoteric, as opposed to esoteric, or outer practices that form various spiritual groups and religions. So the exoteric practices, In our community of sacred artists, the exoteric practices or the outer practices of various spiritual and religious groups are often kind of shoved to the side or they're looked down on because we have a preference for the esoteric, the inner teachings, if you will. But it's, in my opinion, that's a real mistake. It's a mistake to assume that esoteric practices are not important, or to assume that they only correspond to major dominant religious models. You know, either of those attitudes is not really accurate, not really helpful. So when we as sacred artists experience Jupiter in Sagittarius and we're looking at exoteric practices, what we're typically looking at on a personal level is that, you know, we want to tend to our own practices. You know, we want to look, for instance, at our daily practice, our weekly practice, our monthly practice, and commit to them. And if we need to shape them or form them in a way that really, you know, works for us, then we need to do that. Jupiter in Sagittarius is a really great time to get clear on your outer practice. That daily practice is your exoteric practice. It speaks to inner teachings. It speaks to the esoteric qualities of what you do. But if you get up and you do a walking meditation every morning, that is your outer practice. If you get up and you light incense and candles every morning, that is your outer practice. So as sacred artists, as soulful seekers, we want to be thinking about our daily practices, our weekly practices, our monthly practices, and our annual practices, right? This is everything from, as I said, what you do during the day and when you do it, to, for instance, the feast days or the holidays that you celebrate, that you honor during the course of the year. So Jupiter in Sagittarius gives us this beautiful time and this wonderful support to really get clear on the kinds of practices that are going to best support us at this time. Now, my Miracle Tree and Spinning Globe students, you guys have heard me say again and again that, you know, our daily practice, our weekly practices, all of our practices are not set in stone. We often feel the need to change them. We need to calibrate them according to where we are in life. In Spinning Gold, I talk about the North Star Rate, which is, you know, the single practice that you identify that this is the practice you're going to stick with for a certain period of time. So this isn't to say that, you know, you use this year to come up with your set of practices and they're never going to change from this point forward. This is rather the time where, first of all, you get clear on what practices you do want to commit to for a given period of time. You also ideally will build in periods throughout the year where you check in on your practices and you ask, is this still what I need to be doing? Is this still the most supportive thing for me right now? And then you also start doing those practices, right? Most importantly of all, you show up and you do them, not perfectly, not probably always 100% consistently, but as much as you can. And this is the year where that showing up, that daily, weekly, monthly, yearly showing up will have significant payoff in your inner work, right? In your inner practices, in the inner teachings. Those outer practices will really connect inwards in a bunch of profound ways that will be powerful for you. This also might be a time where personally you find that you want to create or join a group or a congregation of like-minded people to practice with together. So this can be a really, you know, if you're feeling the loss of community, then finding a spiritual community, finding a spiritual congregation to join up with, to practice together with, can be a really useful thing to do at this time. And it can be something that really supports you not only in showing up and doing your practice, but also in identifying what practices will be the best for you to commit to at this time. And finally, on a personal level, you may want to rejoin or weave into your current practice aspects of the religious practices that you grew up with. So many of my sacred artists and soulful seekers, not all of you, but many, many, many of you have religious traditions that you grew up with and in many cases then left for all kinds of very legitimate reasons, you know, as you got older and had the freedom to do so. Don't be surprised that during this transit of Jupiter in Sagittarius, you find yourself wanting to reweave some of those practices back into your own life and into your own practices. So this can be anything from deciding that you're going to celebrate a specific holiday or set of holidays that is associated with your religion to, you know, deciding that you want to include a specific prayer or a specific blessing or a specific movement into your daily practice. A really good personal example of this, my best friend is Iranian, and she's an Iranian-American. They came here when she was about 12, and she has my two godchildren, actually, and she just emailed me, and she was like, you know, I'm going to start incorporating some of the Persian solstice traditions into our family's celebrations. So she married a Catholic man, and you know, the Catholic traditions have been kept up and maintained. But she's learning about her Persian traditions, pre-Islamic Persian traditions, which are beautiful and fantastic and fabulous. And so she's starting to incorporate them back into her family's own practice of observing winter solstice. That's classic. Jupiter is about to go into Sagittarius. So, you know, if you find that, you know, if you, like me, were raised partially in the Baptist church and you're like, all of a sudden, I really feel the need to be saying the 23rd Psalm every morning, welcome to Jupiter in Sagittarius. If you were raised in a Buddhist community and you left that and you're now feeling the need to get into a serious meditation practice, welcome to Jupiter in Sagittarius. So glad that you are here. What is this going to look like culturally? What is this going to look like globally and in the news? I expect to see specific practices and approaches of mainstream religious organizations being highlighted and in many cases being challenged if they are not rooted in wisdom, which is one of the most powerful qualities of Sagittarius. And I actually saw a little article about this the other day that very much pinged for me. I did an experiment. I knew that I was going to be talking to you all about Jupiter and Sagittarius, and I was like, let's look at the news and see what is showing up that feels very Jupiter is about to move into Sagittarius. And I found an article that was about millennial evangelical Christians questioning the tenets, the social and political ideologies of their churches. They weren't questioning their faith. They're content in their Christian faith. They're even content in their evangelical Christian faith, but they have a problem with some of the political stances that their churches have taken regarding things like same-sex marriage. Immigration was one that came up. So, you know, really interesting. What we see is not criticism of the institution from the outside, which is always easy to do, but actual criticism and rethinking of the institution from within the institution itself. And so we should expect to see that for sure in the major religious traditions, the monotheistic, Abrahamic traditions, but we're also going to see it in other places too. And so just pay attention to that and note that that is going to be happening. If you are part of a spiritual congregation already that is healthy and functioning well, then expect this to be a time of opening and expanding that group and the practices that it inspires. If you are part of a spiritual congregation that is not healthy and functioning well, then expect any issues that are again, not grounded in wisdom, not healthy, not good, to show up at the fore and to really be present and to, you know, be called out during this transit of Jupiter in Sagittarius. Another area to pay attention to is the development of your personal philosophy. This is strongly supported at this time by Jupiter moving through Sagittarius. And so don't be surprised to see philosophical or political beliefs crystallize during this period. And do be aware of zealotry, because zealotry, being overly zealous, overly committed, overly passionate, zealous to the point where you are absolutely convinced that your way is the right way, your insight is the only true insight, your understanding is the only right understanding, and anyone who disagrees with you can walk off the cliff, is a shadow side of Sagittarius. So Sagittarius focuses on exoteric practices, the outer practices of our spiritual lives. And one of the shadow sides is fundamentalism. And fundamentalism, as we know, can show up anywhere, everywhere, right? Doesn't wear a specific color, doesn't talk a certain way, doesn't look a certain way. So as you're developing your political insights, your philosophical insights, be aware of where you may be too rigid. Be aware of where you may be too zealous, of where you're not being flexible. You're not allowing yourself to make room for ideas and thoughts and people who have a different understanding than you do. That is not a mark of strength. That is actually a mark of weakness, right? We know that. If a belief is too brittle, that's when it hunkers down and doesn't make room for anything else. So do be aware of that shadow side of Sagittarius. If you do magical work, if you're a magical worker, which most of you on this call are, then refining and getting clear on your magical philosophy, your code of ethics, your sense of the way that things work. And this includes, you know, when we talk about philosophy, people ask me what philosophy is all the time. And I, of course, have, my undergraduate degree is in philosophy. I really think that philosophy is about learning how to die well, which in turn requires us to know what it means to live well. So, you know, very small, right? Not super intense areas of inquiry. And so as you're thinking about your philosophy, you know, from a magical perspective, this is also getting clear on your sense of cosmology, thinking about where we come from before we're born, where do we go after we die, what are the purposes and the telos of life, what am I supposed to be working on, what am I, you know, wanting to align myself with during this time. These are all of the very small questions that are up for grabs during Jupiter and Sagittarius. So again, you're very well supported in thinking about this. And so if things have felt muddled, if you haven't felt clear, this is a time to get clear. And you're well supported in getting clear by the transit of Jupiter and Sagittarius. If you already feel pretty clear about that, then look at how about those ideas, you know, then look at how you're applying them into your life. Are there practical actions? This is the danger with philosophy, right? Is that it can turn into kind of some kind of endless navel gazing that doesn't do anything. So are there practical actions that you need to take that support or speak to or are attuned with that inner vision that you carry, and work with Jupiter in Sagittarius to put those practical actions into play. Okay, so finally, y'all have waited for an hour. You're so good. Let's talk about wealth. The first thing to understand is that gaining or building wealth through any of these areas is well supported at this time. So travel, just to go through them really quickly. Travel, spiritual practice development, higher education and learning. Higher education and learning also indicates teaching. If you've been thinking about teaching, this is a great time to go out as a teacher. I know one person in my Miracle Tree community this year is going to be working with people one-on-one about their spiritual practices and helping them like create and get back to a committed spiritual practice. I mean, Jupiter in Sagittarius, it's like this is the best time for her to do something like this. Anything that you want to teach is really good and a way to make money. Traveling is a way to make money, and there's so many different ways to do that with respect to travel. Getting clear on your personal philosophy. How can something that kind of abstract sounding have anything to do with wealth? It's actually really concrete and simple. When I talk with people who are experiencing money problems, 99% of the time, and I am not joking or inflating that percentage, the money problem is a direct result of a lack of clarity in some other area of life. The money problem is a symptom that's pointing to a confusion somewhere else. And so when we talk about getting clear on your life philosophy, being clear on your code of ethics, being clear about what you will and won't do, where you will and won't go, who you will and won't associate with, what you are and are not willing to make available, all of that, clarity on all of that, will often unwind any big financial issues that are coming up. So any of those activities are very well supported at this time and areas that can be dived into for increasing your wealth, gaining wealth, and maintaining wealth as well. The nature of wealth in Sagittarius focuses on one of the core qualities of Sagittarius, which is freedom and generosity. And so understanding what it means to be truly generous and to share resources, and more to the point, to share energy in right relationship, is how wealth is built and maintained during this transit. So working wealth magic for yourself personally is a great idea, but then doing magic as a form of service, doing magic for a group or for a community, can yield huge boons, both personally and also for the community as a whole. So in Sagittarius, the key idea, one of the key ideas, is freedom. And so looking at your money and looking at your relationship to money and finances and saying, am I free here? If I'm not free here, why? What needs to be done in order to create more freedom? Those are all really good places to begin. But then also look at generosity. Look at the ways that you are or are not being generous with yourself, with other people. In some cases, this is going to be about being too generous, right? This is going to be about, you know, pouring out resources that you actually don't have, and the need to restrain yourself and not do that. In other cases, this is going to be about, you know, looking at where you hoard energy or you hoard resources, and many of us do, and it's not something to rake yourself over the coals about. It's just something to see and acknowledge. Most of the time, it comes from a way that we were raised or a story that we inherited from our family. Notice if you do it, and if you do it, don't do it, right? Stop doing it. Not a big deal. Just see it and then deal with it. So being generous, this is a great year to set up, for instance, charitable giving. And, you know, many people in every magical stream that I am familiar with, which is quite a few, have said that, you know, if you will give selflessly and without an eye to gain, you will receive. And so if there have been charitable institutions or organizations that you've wanted to donate to, Jupiter moving into Sagittarius is a great time to set that up. If there have been, on the more personal level, you know, now we have things like Patreon and Kickstarter, and GoFundMe. And so if there are things like that you want to donate to, that you want to share your wealth with, this is a great time to do that. And the way that it works is usually reflexive, and that Jupiter is going to rain blessings on you as you work to bless other people. So set up, you know, definitely set up the money altars. The other thing with Sagittarius, Jupiter in Sagittarius, is that there is an aesthetic quality to Jupiter in Sagittarius, which is kind of funny because Jupiter is like, there's never enough, you know, there's never enough gold on the walls. There's never enough food on the table. The shadow side of Jupiter is gluttony and excess, right? Too much of everything. But in Sagittarius, there's a balancing that happens because Sagittarius is pointed towards the life of the mind and the life of the soul. And so another powerful thing to do wealth-wise while Jupiter is in Sagittarius is to get rid of things that you do not need, to make room for what you do need. And this is especially true with respect to your spiritual supplies, right? Go again to spiritual practice. It can also be true in the other areas. Like, you know, if there's a half-finished degree and you know you're not going to finish it, close it out. Free that energy up so that it can do something else in your life, and it makes the space available and the program to someone else. If, you know, you have like 12 different pieces of luggage and you only need two, get rid of it. You know, get rid of that so that somebody else can put it to use and there's room in your life for what is actually needed. So that's another way to really amplify the effect of Jupiter in Sagittarius. Now, as you work with Jupiter in Sagittarius, and as this transit unfolds over the course of 2019, you may discover that you are getting certain pieces of information about your career and your vocation. And this is because Jupiter is headed towards Capricorn, where it will be in 2020, and Capricorn is all about career and vocation. So in most cases, Sagittarius can be a little impulsive, right? It's a fire sign, so it's quick, quick, let's go, let's do it, and it can be a little bit impulsive. As this information comes in about vocation and calling, while Jupiter is in Sagittarius, ask, what do I need to learn and what do I need to practice to support this? So, you know, if I am going through Jupiter in Sagittarius and I decide, you know, I am really feeling called to be a hair stylist, which would never happen because my idea of a hairstyle is to flap it up in a ponytail. But let us say, for example, that this is happening for me, then I would work really well with this energy to say, okay, what do I need to learn? Do I need to get certified in something? What do I need to know? And what do I need to be practicing in order to create a solid transition for this calling of mine to be a hairstylist? So I probably would need to look at cosmetology school, and I'm going to need to start practicing cutting hair and styling hair, and I'm probably going to need to figure out what is required in my state to set myself up as a hairstylist, right? So that is how you work. If you feel like your career or your vocation, you're getting really clear insight about it, and you want to do something with that, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm going to switch careers, or, hey, let me, like, put my hat in for that promotion, even though it's a real long shot right now. Instead, it is getting strategic and saying, okay, what needs to happen? What do I need to know? What do I need to practice? No practice, no practice. Those are the key ideas with Sagittarius in order to create the most solid foundation possible for this. That way, when Jupiter moves into Capricorn and you're ready to rock it, you already have a good foundation created. So all of the endeavors of Jupiter in Sagittarius are pointed in the same direction, which is the development and the expansion of wisdom. I mean, it's inner wisdom, it's personal wisdom, it is cultural wisdom. This is the key idea of Sagittarius at its most profound, at its best. And that's your check for any work that you're doing during this transit. One of the questions that you can ask, so if you're looking at your daily practice, if you're looking at a travel opportunity that you're really on the fence about, if you're looking at some of the bigger philosophical questions, the question to ask is, does this invite wisdom in or not? Right? Does this action, does this idea, does this behavior invite wisdom in, or does it not invite wisdom in? If you will ask that question, if you will like write that question down and pin it on your desk, and if that can be one of your touchstone questions for 2019, you will be in beautiful shape. You know, if you're making a financial decision, if you're trying to decide to invest in something, is this going to bring in wisdom or not? Now, remember, wisdom is different than just smart or information. It has a depth. We return to the root of the word Jupiter. It's a grave. It has gravity, right? It also has grace. So that is what you're looking for. That is your touchstone to return to again and again. All right, my loves, I have yammered on about this for quite a while. I'm going to open it up for questions in a minute, but I want to talk about the question that came in by email first, which is the Jupiter return. So the Jupiter return happens every 12 years because it takes about a year for Jupiter to go through each sign, and there's 12 signs in all. So a Jupiter return is when Jupiter returns to the spot that it was at during the time of your birth. So as I said, this is a 12-year cycle. And so that really gives you the information that you need to know. If you are having a Jupiter return, if your Jupiter is in Sagittarius, then this year, over the next year, you are going to have a Jupiter return, right? So those of you who got the Star Stories and the Star Power Bundle, I will let you know if you're having a Jupiter return, and I'll give you specific information about it and how to work with it. Jupiter return, what you want to do, generally speaking, is look at the last 12 years and think about what you have learned, and especially think about what you have learned in the areas of abundance, learning and education, and spirituality, religion and spirituality, right? You want to look at what has worked, what hasn't worked, what have the disappointments been or the things that didn't work out, and then what are the things that have really worked out? You want to look at your money and your money management and what's happening with that. If there are any patterns that you can detect, if you saved more money, if you made more money, are you making more but saving less? You know, all of that kind of stuff you want to take into account as well. I think the best way to do this, I think there are two really good ways to do this. I think one way is to journal it out, write it down. That's always good because you also have your notes. There's three ways. Okay, another way that's very good is you can talk with a friend, a magical study buddy, and just talk it out and be like, you know, I really see this and I really see that. Talking with a friend can be useful because they will often ask you questions that you might not ask yourself, right? And, of course, you can do both. You could journal and then you can talk to a friend. The other thing you can do is you can book a session with an astrologer that you know and that you love to talk specifically about your Jupiter return and to say, okay, you know, give me the 411 on this. What do I need to know? What do I need to be looking at? And then they can really dive in deep and talk to you about it. But basically, do a 12-year review. And you know, what's interesting about the Jupiter return, a lot of people see the Jupiter return as the year that Jupiter is returning is supposed to be really abundant. My experience is that that's a good year, but the following year is a better year as far as just the sense of roads being open and the way being made clear. And I think the reason why is because Jupiter is traveling over old ground as it gets to the point that it was in at the time of your birth. And so you're revisiting. It's a review period as opposed to a fresh new chapter start beginning period. So keep that in mind as well. All right. Star 2 to ask questions. Ellie, bless her, already has a question. So hit Star 2 on your phone if you have a question that you want to ask. And I am going to unmute Ellie. Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
You know, I'm just always when we talk about astrology, I'm always just amazed again and again about how synchronous and how just in tune I am without being aware of it.
Right.
Like,
yes, agree.
Yeah, it's real. What? And I was wondering about transits, mm-hmm. because Jupiter is Sagittarius is my first house, and Neptune is in Sagittarius. So I'm going to have, and it's going to be a while because they're both outer planets.
Right. So that'll last for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so just kind of working with transits, especially when they're these outer planet transits that have influence for a while.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So what Ellie is asking is, as Jupiter transits through Sagittarius, you may have other planets that are in Sagittarius in your chart. And so what happens when Jupiter transits over those planets? It's like this cosmic meetup, and each planet has a different influence. And so Jupiter and Neptune, you know, that's a real power pairing. The danger of Jupiter and Neptune, or the shadow side of Jupiter and Neptune, is unrealistic thinking. You know, Neptune is sometimes a little dreamy, a little wishful thinking, a little unrealistic and romantic. And with Jupiter saying, let's go, let's do it, I'm in, all in, you know, that can lead to usually, you know, like investing in something that you're sort of, you have buyer's remorse about later, or, you know, trying to do a project that you need more time or you need more help, or, you know, it's too big for one person, or it's too big for the amount of time you've given it. So that's the shadow side. But the positive aspects of Jupiter and Neptune are, I mean, there are so many. You know, one of the things that I would definitely expect with a sacred artist during this transit is that their intuitive abilities and their dream life is going to ramp up in a significant way, because Neptune rules our intuitive abilities. It rules our psychic sense. Art and creativity are also going to get a huge boon. And if you're realistic about your expectations, then any creative or spiritual project during that transit is blessed by the presence of Jupiter, which means that, you know, you're able to present it in a bold and compelling way. You're usually able to get funding for it in whatever way you need to get funding for it, or you're able to send it out into the world and it will be profitable. You know, and your spiritual practice, you know, I talked about spirituality already, and your spiritual practice with Jupiter meeting up with Neptune is just, you know, it just attains a level of depth and a level of profundity, and your magic, since I know you, Ellie, and I know that magic is a part of that practice, also has the ability to really go, you know, just like in a deep and powerful direction. So those are all the really good qualities of that Jupiter and Neptune meeting. And, you know, it's a very good time financially. It's a very good time to do things like invest in art or invest in creativity, as long as you're realistic about your expectations and you're not like pie in the sky, you know, kind of thinking, which, you know, I know you, and I know where the Virgo is in your chart, so I know you're okay.
all the Virgo, yes.
All the Virgo. All that's right. If you ever, hot tip, if you ever feel like you might be too unrealistic, figure out where Virgo is and just lean into that. Lean into your Virgo. It'll bring you back down in a very good way. So the other thing that you mentioned is that Jupiter is in your first, this transit's happening in your first house.
Yes.
So the houses, of course, all speak to different things. First house is the house of first impressions, and it's the house of appearance. So Jupiter going through your first house, you know, this is a time where you might be like, I need to have lots of jewelry, or I need to have a totally new wardrobe. Or I want to start doing my makeup like this, like, or I want to not wear makeup and I want to like buy a horse. You know, I mean, there's a, like, it can go in so many different directions, but it has to do with physical appearance. And so you want to just keep that in mind And it's not, you know, typically the changes are gradual, and the way that you feel called to change is something that's supportive. Just make sure that it's in alignment with who you are and with what you want. And the other thing with Jupiter, and this is true wherever Jupiter is, but there are certain houses, the first and the second, or two of them to watch out for, that Jupiter in Sagittarius can encourage weight gain for all of us. Right. It's just, I forgot to mention it, but like Jupiter in Sagittarius is excessive and loves food. And I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, it's the emperor who wants to have a feast every day. So, but especially in the first house, since it deals with appearances, watch out for, this is a good time for part of your spiritual practice to be the way you nourish yourself. And that goes for everyone. I mean, the first house is prone to it, but everyone, if you're trying to gain weight, this is awesome. But if you don't want to gain weight, or if you're watching your weight, be aware that this transit can expand the waistline a little bit.
And of
is
course,
that helpful?
Yeah, no, very, very helpful. And I've I'm actually starting a detox, like literally this week.
That's like you said, that's the beauty of astrology. You're like, you know, you start to see how it's already starting to happen.
Yeah.
And so, and there it is, right? So that's, yes, I get it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Just amazing. One other thing, this isn't applicable for me right at this moment, but opposition to the natal Jupiter.
Right. Okay, so that's a really good question. Oppositions are interesting, and a lot of people read them as negative because we see the word oppose, and we're like, well, that's bad. It's bad to be opposed by anything. But oppositions actually are usually, they manifest as really like creative relationships. So if you have Jupiter trans, if you have current Jupiter transiting opposed to the place that Jupiter was at during the time of your birth, what you're often going to see is that this is, for you, this is going to be a time of kind of coming into equilibrium with what is working with respect to Jupiter and what is not working. So it can be sticky in the sense that, what, you know, if there are things that are not working, they might get called out early on. And you might start to see them really clearly. You might, you know, you might start to be like, oh, this job really isn't giving me the kind of income that I need at my current level of spending, for instance. But you also are given the ability to, you're given the tools that you need to address them and to equalize things out. Jupiter opposed to natal Jupiter also often shows up as a need to go back to school. Sometimes it shows up as a need to drop out of school, depending on what's happening with the person and what the educational needs are. So that's another thing to really watch out for, and that I see a lot with the opposing. So it has to do with, you know, learning, how much is enough learning, you know, certification, that kind of a thing as well. And there can be a restrictive quality that shows up when Jupiter is opposed to your natal Jupiter. Like, you might be tempted to play it just a little bit more conservatively. It almost can feel like a Saturnian kind of influence. And that can be a very good thing, actually, to temper the overindulgence that sometimes goes hand in hand with Jupiter. Does that help?
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome. Very
excellent
question. You're so welcome. Thank you for asking. Those were all really good. All right, we have another one. Hold on a second. Hello, hello. Is this Esme? I see a Los Gatos, California. And your phone might be muted because we can't hear you. I have unmuted you.
Oh, okay. I unmuted myself. Hi.
Hey, hey, how are
Sorry
you?
About that.
I
am
no
good. Thank you.
I have done it
call.
Many times. That's why I know it can be a problem.
Yeah, thank you. it's so nice to be able to start the day off this way, because it was 8 a.m. When it started here on the West Coast.
Yay!
So I was looking at my natal chart, and my Jupiter is in Sagittarius in my natal chart, as are Uranus and Neptune, and they're in the 12th house, and that seems like a lot of work, kind of like, I don't know, to me, it seems like a lot of, like, airy, I don't know, energy that's maybe, like, more loose and, I don't really have the words to explain it, but, like, what do you have thoughts about this?
I do have thoughts about this. So, okay, so then you've got Jupiter, Neptune, and Uranus in your 12th house. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your 12th house is in Sagittarius. Okay, so I wouldn't say, I see this alignment and I think truth teller. That's the immediate.
Okay.
Yeah, I think truth teller. And let me just kind of flavor that out for you. Let me build it out for you a little bit. So the 12th house is the house of secrets. It has also been referred to as the house of self-imprisonment. So it's the ways that we imprison ourselves. It's not necessarily the ways that other people or external circumstances limit us, but it's the way that we limit ourselves. And sometimes it's also called the house of karma, but usually that's by people who aren't really talking about the Hindu concept of karma. And, you know, it's some vague sort of new age idea of things coming back to you and not really helpful. But I typically think of the 12th house as, like, this is where we limit ourselves. This is where we have the capacity to save ourselves. And this is also where we hide things from ourselves and we hide things from other people. So Sagittarius in the 12th house is already setting us up to, you know, not hide things, because Sagittarius is, like, the opposite of sneaky and furtive. Sagittarius is like, I'm going to tell you all of it. And if anything, it's definitely more of like a too much information, like stop, Sagittarius, stop kind of situation. Sagittarius is also very blunt a lot of the time. So, you know, Sagittarius is all about freedom. So it's actually a great place to have your 12th house, because it's like, oh, no, we're not, you know, if we're limiting ourselves, we're going to figure out why we're doing it. We're going to call it out. And we're going to unravel it so that we can move forward, because we are not into being bound up or restricted in any way, shape, or form. So that is just Sagittarius in the 12th house. Then you have Jupiter, which is going to just magnify all of that. And then you also have Neptune and you have Uranus. So truth teller is Sagittarius and Jupiter and Neptune, because Neptune, so there's like the obvious surface truth that needs to be told, but then there's the deeper truths. There's the spiritual truths. There's the intuitive truths that need to be told. And that's where Neptune kicks in and comes into play. Then we have Uranus. And so this is telling the truth to the community, to the culture, to the group, right? Because Neptune and Jupiter and even Sagittarius, like they're all kind of like interpersonal, but Uranus, which is the ruling planet of the sign Aquarius, is very much about the group. And there's a way that it's very much about what is on trend, what is of the zeitgeist at this moment. So that's how that shows up. So I see that combination, and I think, you know, this is a place where you have, it's more than a place. This is like part of your mission is to be a truth teller. Now, Neptune, I know you, and I know that part of your work is a fiction writer, and Neptune in this area speaks to being able to tell the truth through story. And often there are stories of trauma, or there are stories of things that have been hidden or that we're not talking about, right? So there's that part that knowing you, I think is kind of cool to see. But then there is also just the more forceful kind of in your face, like, I'm going to tell the truth about this. And if it makes people uncomfortable, I'm sorry, but I am not going to choose comfort over clarity and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, this is really great. Thank you. So does this mean I'm in my Jupiter return now?
It means that, yes, it does. It does. It means that Jupiter will be returning, and I'd have to look at your chart and see where it is exactly to tell you, like, the day that it occurs, and usually it's there for a few days. But that is, yeah, it means that you are in your Jupiter return. So that 12-year review that I talked about,
mm-hmm.
you want to start doing that.
Okay, I will. I make notes, so I'll look at the last 12 years and see what has been happening in that time. But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. So my pleasure. All right. So, you guys, thank you so much for hanging. Does anybody else have any questions? Star 2, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, I'm going to end with this. Some of you know this, some of you don't. But I am doing a magical working for Jupiter moving into Sagittarius. It is an oil lamp, and I've called this Light the Way. It's a wealth and wisdom oil lamp for everybody who wants to be fully supported by some magic during the transit of Jupiter in Sagittarius. Some of you have signed up for this. Some of you have not. There is no obligation. $70 for the year. And it's really cool because it's a fixed oil lamp. And this is something that comes out of the hoodoo and the conjure tradition. That's where I learned about it. Although working with candles and oil lamps in a sacred context, of course, is something we find worldwide. So when you fix an oil lamp, basically you take an oil lamp and you fill, so it's a sacred vessel, right? So you fill the well of the oil lamp with various curios that are attuned to whatever you're doing. So in this case, I'm supporting everybody in increasing their wealth and their wisdom during this transit for Jupiter in Sagittarius. So there are coins, and there are dollars, and there are lodestones, and there are pieces of iron pyrite, and there's all kinds of roots and botanical goodies that I have filled the well of the oil lamp with. Then you put in your oil, your lamp oil. And then you write, one way to do this, some people write a paper petition and put it into the bottom of the lamp. I actually write a petition on the wick of the lamp so that as the lamp burns, that petition is activated. Everyone is sending in petitions to me who participates in this. Those petitions are going to be burned because we're working with fire magic. We've got a fire sign in Sagittarius. And then the ash is going to be added to the well of the oil lamp. So that is what's happening. And it will burn every day that Jupiter is in the sign of Sagittarius. So you can go check out that page. I will include it when I send out the recording of this call. And join up. I think you'll all really love it. I am super excited. I did something similar when Uranus moved from Aries into Taurus earlier this year, which was very successful. And I get emails from people every week who are like, I'm so glad I did that because this happened. And I know that it was a result of that working, which is still going beautifully. So that's just a little magic I'm doing for Jupiter in Sagittarius. I hope some of you will join me for it. And I thank you all so much for hanging out and talking Jupiter. It's one of my favorite things to do. I hope that you have a beautiful day. I will send out this recording soon. And we will talk soon, I am sure. Take care and have a gorgeous day.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.